everyone. I'm Gary Knoll. This is the Progressive Commentary Hour. Today we have a special. We're going to be exploring what I began today on my noon show, and that was positive information on how, over a period of years, working with more than 1,200 people diagnosed with HIV infection and full-blown AIDS, by changing lifestyle and behavior, by using the latest in non-toxic alternative therapies such as ozone and intravenous vitamins, working with a group of board-certified physicians and healthcare practitioners and holistic nurses, dietitians and therapists, including even a holistic dentist, Dr. Elmira Goodall, because a lot of the people diagnosed with full-blown AIDS, a lot of people were prejudiced against them and fearful that they might spread the virus through some kind of contact, and so they'd wear gloves, but not in our office. And so she worked on eliminating local focal infections. I would frequently work 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, at the center, the Tri-State Healing Center at 72nd and Broadway. I would open it up at 8 o'clock in the morning, and I would close it up at midnight. And outside of doing my normal lectures and radio show and running over to the Institute of Applied Biology in the evening to do research work, I spend hours upon hours every day working with people with various diseases. And among those people with diseases, about one-fourth were there because they had AIDS-defining illnesses. They were not HIV positive but otherwise healthy. These were very sick people. Now, most of the people, probably 95%, had already tried the drug at the time, which was AZT and then later DDI and DDC and protease inhibitors. And I let them know that I never told anyone stop taking any drugs. To the contrary, I've made a public statement, and I made it at a press conference at the Walter Reed Theater with a full house. And after I'd just shown a documentary on AIDS, the Real Heroes, and the AIDS, the Real Heroes were people, some of whom I'd worked with and others who had sought other modalities, but they were all sharing something in common. They were all getting healthier, had gained weight, no longer had Kaposi's sarcoma, were able to breathe, they no longer had pneumocystis green pneumonia, they no longer had thrush, but they had almost, to a person, they had taken AZT, and they had suffered serious side effects. As one person would say, that he was so sick, he was taking over 40 different medications a day, many to counteract the results of the other medications. And one day he just couldn't get out of bed. He was sick, he was vomiting, and he crawled to the toilet, took a bowl of the drugs and poured them all in the toilet. And he said, I'd rather die than suffer any more pain and debilitation. Well, he didn't die. Instead, he got in a cab, came up to the center. I remember he was too weak to make it up the steps. We went down and helped him. And over the next 16 months, he was diligent in building up his body's immune system. At the end of that time, he was completely healthy and seroconverted. We saw a lot of people seroconvert due to the holistic protocols that I created for them. But also, we were not alone. There were other people around the country using other modalities that were also improving. And over a two-year period, we managed to get over 100 individuals who were long-term survivors, who had all had AZT originally but got sicker, and they gave that up, and they came to New York and were on the protocols, or they took protocols on their own, different body-mind nutritional protocols. We worked with their doctors, and the criteria was you must be able to prove by detailed blood analysis and all the markers that the person has had an increase in their T cells, that they have had a decrease in their HIV status and their viral load, and opportunistic infections have been eliminated or improved in their condition. We then had a team of medical doctors, all board certified, that reviewed these records. They, not myself, selected the people who would be invited. At the end of this period of time, we had a press conference, a major press conference. In fact, General Media hired two of the largest PR firms in the United States spend thousands of dollars to get this message out, that there would be a press conference in New York on a particular date in which people who were improving with HIV and AIDS defining illnesses, NARC, would give their stories. Their doctors would be there, and their medical records and their whole medical history would be there. And that way someone couldn't come and say, well, how do we know you've improved? Maybe you never really had the disease. Maybe you didn't have any blood chemistry work. No, they had major blood work. And we had it all. And it took a long time to assemble all this. But once we assembled it, we then had a panel of physicians and one senator, Senator David Patterson from New York State. And the room was packed. But we had another room where all the media were supposed to be, and not a single person from the media came, not one. And they had gotten three notices of this. They chose to ignore this. At a press conference I did following the showing at the Walter Reed Theater at Lincoln Center, it was packed again. And many of the people I'd worked with were there, the patients. They came to give testimony. Their medical records were there. We had a whole panel of people up on the dais to share their insights. Dr. Moss, Moss was there. They were all there. And not a single person came except one person from Newsweek, and they came simply because they wanted to interview Arthur Ashe, the great tennis star who was there. Now, there were people who did cover the story of what I was doing. People such as the major black newspaper in America, the Amsterdam News, and Bill Tatum, the publisher. He came at least a dozen times personally. He sent other reporters to come. He wanted to interview the people. He wanted to see their medical records with their permission. He wanted to interview the doctors, and he did. He was so convinced of the rightness of what we were doing that that Doug Henderson did a featured article on this for the Amsterdam News. Isaac Hayes would come on a regular basis. He wanted to give emotional support. He also had friends who had HIV infection, and he wanted to give the protocols to them, even those who didn't live in New York, so that they could get better. We had Stokely Carmichael, one of the great voices of the Black Renaissance movement and the political movements, came. And he came many times. We also had Bill McCurry, a great journalist. He was an honest journalist. He won two Emmys. And he invited Arthur Ashe and I on the program to talk about this. Then he said, when you get someone who is seroconverted, bring them on. And we had a couple come on. They were in silhouette, but they brought their medical records. Everyone wanted to see the medical records, and these were from Roche Labs, which is a division of Hoffman and Roche, and showed they had seroconverted. And they went from very low T cells to normal T cells, and no HIV, no infection in their body of any type. We also had people come from Tony Brown's journal on PBS, and they looked at the documentation, and they too, over a period of months, were convinced by looking at the documentation, seeing the actual medical records, interviewing the people there, that they should come on the air. And indeed, I commend him for his bravery. But Tony Brown, and he is a courageous human being, he invited these people on the air with me on eight separate occasions. And we played two of those segments today where he was interviewing the people and they told their story, how they were near death, and within a period of time, they were completely well, totally well. No HIV, seroconverted. And then other people within the African-American community and a group of black doctors contacted my office. All told, I think it was about 17. And I was invited to go to the Apollo Theater. Now, I didn't really know what to expect. I was doing so many lectures at that time. I just went to the Apollo Theater, took a cab up there. There was a line around the block. I went inside. There was not even standing room. They had this stage filled with people, and these doctors were going to be introduced, and then they talked about how important it was for the African-American and Latino community to realize there were other approaches to AIDS other than AZT. Yet many of them had used AZT and saw their patients dying, not getting better, because they were getting 1,500 to 1,600 milligrams of AZT a day, and AZT had never had a legitimate honest study of its safety and efficacy. In fact, one day, a woman came into my office. I played an audio clip of her today, and Lynn Gannett is her name, and she was one of the supervisors of the AZT trials at Syracuse University, Buffalo, and Rochester. She was saying that it was completely a fraudulent test. People were not taking the AZT, or they who took AZT and died were excluded from the trials. She had all the letters she had written to her supervisor at the FDA in Washington saying that this was bogus, it was a fraud, and nobody cared. It wasn't even a double-blind study at that point. Again, nobody cared. So as a result, what we had was we had no legitimate AZT trial, but the mainstream media, who could have found this out if they listened to my radio show, instead went along with this hoax. And so the fastest approval in FDA history of AZT that had been shown to be toxic, it was a chemotherapy drug that was so toxic it was banned. Even the developer of AZT said that you can't use this. It's too toxic. So a drug, listen carefully, a drug that was so toxic they wouldn't even give it to terminally ill cancer patients as an experimental drug was the drug of choice for everyone with AZT, HIV. So, after I saw her documentation, I began to do research and found that AZT could actually cause the same identical symptoms of full-blown AIDS. Well, then the question was, how do you know if a person's dying of AIDS-defined illnesses or AZT toxicity? And they chose not to listen to that. The movement within the AIDS community was drugs, drugs, drugs. They wanted to see that the government got drugs because they believed that drugs would be the help. So I began to write articles challenging the safety of AZT. I did a debate at New York Medical College with four other, they were MDs, I'm a PhD, but they were pro-AZT and I was opposed to it. And I gave all the studies, including the original studies, at the National Cancer Institute, showing why it was toxic and that it would create the same symptoms. So a person that was HIV positive but asymptomatic, meaning otherwise they were healthy, they could now go from HIV positive to full AIDS if they took the drug. And I gave them all the science. I did several debates and lectures on this topic. I also said, and at the press conference, I'm on the record, it's there, you will see it, you can download it from today's show, that I said that if a person wants to use drugs and feels that this is in their best interest, they should be allowed to. If AZT is important to them, they should take AZT. I'm not going to tell them what to take or not to take. I just believe that we should open the field up, since there's so many unknowns, to look at other opportunities to help a person rebuild their immune system. Now, that's reasonable. Not denying HIV, not denying AIDS, never have, but rather challenging that the virus itself was the cause of every single case of AIDS. And that not only was I challenging, but also a lot of other scientists were challenging as well. In fact, today, you're going to be hearing from a person, David Crowe, president of the Alberta Reappraising AIDS and Rethinking AIDS, who has almost 3,000 scientists, journalists, activists, medical doctors, including a couple Nobel Prize winners, who have joined that cause to share their concern. Have you ever heard a single comment from any of these dissenters? They're not denying AIDS. They're not denying HIV. They are denying that by itself, with no other cofactors, that HIV could cause 30 different illnesses, including cervical cancer and Kaposi sarcoma. The scientific literature does not bear them out. So therefore, there is legitimacy in science to have open and honest discussions and debates. But we all agreed that there is a real thing called AIDS and we should help it in whatever we can. I was just choosing a different approach. But mind you, I was getting 95% of the people coming to the center who had already been through the orthodox approach and it failed them. So, I want to now show you some hard evidence of the seroconversions. Now, you can go on today's show, you can download it. It's been archived, and you can see Tony Brown. You can see the patients that I seroconverted. You can see Bo McCreary. and you can channel 5, and you can see the patients Isiro converted. And he had both of them had the medical records in their hands. In fact, Tony Brown asked for permission from Chuck DeMarco to show it to the audience. And right there on the screen, you see all of his titers, all of his blood chemistry, and seroconverted. All right? So, on the one hand, when the New York Times recently said, oh, we have, you know, the second person who is who has gone HIV positive negative, as if this was, you know, front page news, I had over 8 people not just seroconvert, but became completely healthy with normal T cells. Neither of the people the Times quote had that happen. These people have no opportunistic infections, no diseases whatsoever, all gone. And I just found that one was still alive today. So now we're going to start, before we go to David Crowe, and a full documentary, a documentary work in progress. It'll be finished this week, but you're going to have a sneak preview to see the first rough cut of it. The testimonials are what are going to go in. We found all these testimonials. It took us almost 2 years of going through thousands of archives to find these videos that no one knew existed. So watch and listen. Now, in order to watch this, you can watch this by simply going on your computer here, and you can click it, and you can watch the video, and we're going to play it for you. And so you don't just get the audio, you can actually see it. But you're going to see 3 people in this one. You're going to see and hear from Lou M. Panessi, who was a head of nursing at Long Island Jewish Hospital for 18 years, herself dying of hepatitis B, and she had pneumonia constantly because of mycoplasma infections. She had breast cancer. She had ovarian cancer. She had a lot of things going wrong. She came to the center for helping her. She was helped. All of her diseases were reversed. But in the process of her own diseases being reversed, she had an opportunity to see these people, then work with these people. And she would frequently take their lab results and then go over them with them so they would know how they're doing. And we had a lot of blood chemistry done, more than any other lab I know of, any other office, medical office in the country. We had a lot of blood work done. Because I didn't want someone to say, well, you know, I reversed AIDS. And they said, yeah, well, what if you never had it? Show me the proof you had it. We have a lot of cynics. That's fine. We have a lot of people that never believe this possible, and that's fine. So we wanted irrefutable proof. And one final story before we go to Doug Henderson and a 48-year research fellow at the Institute of Applied Biology, Elena, and Lou M. Panessi. You're going to hear 3 people in a row who were there, who witnessed this, and these are the people that count because they saw what was happening. But I remember the first case that Ciro converted. I was in my office, and the doctor came in, one of the medical doctors. He said, Gary, the nurse was all excited by this, but I just think it's a false reading, so we're going to redo the blood. And I looked at it, and it showed it's Ciro converted. I said, okay, fine. So they got the patient in, they took his blood again, they sent it out to a lab. And these are top labs that every doctor and hospital uses. And a week later came back, seroconverted. So we sent it out again, a third time. We must have sent this blood out 5 times. And finally we realized, when we checked for everything, herpes, cytomegalovirus, Epstein-Barr virus, he had nothing. He was cleared of everything. And he had everything about 16 months earlier. So we had the first case in the world. But that would just be the first case. Now it will become almost normal for the people I was working with on an extended program. I work with 1,200 people, but most came in once a week. These people came in every day, 6 days a week. They were never charged for their treatment. I paid for their treatment on my own pocket. So now, David, let me just say hello to you. Nice to have you on board with us.
Hello.
We're going to come right back to you, but I want people to hear these testimonies because on Wikipedia, they have labeled me as an AIDS denialist and don't allow any information to change that lie. And I believe it's because not just myself, but many other people, Rupert Sheldrake, Deepak Chopra, dozens and dozens of people cannot change anything on their profile, even though what's on their profile is wrong. It's a character assassination. It's done with malice aforethought. It's done by a cabal of individuals who do not allow any changes to people who've been targeted. So I was targeted. And then anyone wanting to know about Gary Null who doesn't know me would think, oh, wow, I don't want to have anything to do with him. He's an AIDS denier. So not only do I not deny AIDS and HIV, but I'm the only person that I know of in the world, let's say New York Times can find someone else, who has reversed AIDS in more people and reversed end-stage diseases in more people than anyone else on the planet. And the evidence is there, and we found it, and it's here, and it's prima facie. Let's go to the tape.
I met Gary Null at an expo, and I had been suffering with some chronic illnesses myself, and one became life-threatening. I had hepatitis and chronic fatigue syndrome. I had severe yeast because I had acne. There's a number of different things. And then I was diagnosed with precancerous breast cells that were turning cancerous. So because I ran the adult medical units, medicine, oncology, geriatrics, hematology, and neurology, I knew the game, and the game is, for every hammer, you look for a nail. So anytime someone had a symptom, the solution is typically going to be the pharmaceutical model. So we give you a synthetic drug for every symptom you have, and we keep loading you up until your body can't handle all these synthetic drugs anymore, and then you kind of go into hospice. So I didn't want to go that route. And when I met Gary at this expo, I was interested in what he was doing. He invited me to come to the Tri-State Healing Center in New York City. So I went, and I began to get my treatments there. And while I was there, I noticed a number of people coming in, getting their intravenous therapies, and each week they looked better and better and better. I was intrigued by this. And I asked Gary, being a nurse administrator, if I could look at some of these medical records. There was one gentleman there, his name was Louis. And Louis came in with AIDS. And each week, again, he started getting stronger and healthier and feeling better. This was completely out of character for what I've seen when people are diagnosed with AIDS. And after several months, he actually seroconverted, and he completely reversed AIDS. I needed to know what was going on here. I've never seen anything like this in my career. See, in conventional medicine, when you're diagnosed with AIDS or cancer or any other illness that's life-threatening like that, we want you to be afraid so that you just do whatever we say. And I didn't find these people were afraid. It was not a fear-based system that I was engaging in at the Tri-State Healing Center. Instead, it was something that was very empowering. These people were managing their diet. They were all on plant-based diets. They were taking herbs that detox the liver, like yellow dock and burdock, and immune-enhancing herbs and supplements and minerals. They were putting things into their body, and these people were excited, and they were very optimistic and very hopeful, which was a completely new picture for me with someone who had AIDS. So I asked to be involved with some of the therapies. I wanted to see what they were doing. They were receiving immune augmentation through very, very high doses of intravenous vitamin C. And I watched these people's lab counts improve significantly over time. And then I saw them doing some catabolic things like biooxidative therapy. And, of course, viruses cannot live in a high oxygen environment. So when you flood the body with oxygen like biooxidative therapy, you're killing off these viruses in huge proportions. They were integrating green vegetable juices every single day, some 7, 8, 9, 10 green juices a day to detoxify the liver and oxygenate the body. and give you mental clarity. It was a completely new ballgame for me. And had I not seen the lab results with my own eyes, I probably would not have believed that something like this was possible. So I studied and I watched and I saw no less, in the time that I was there, I saw no less than 8 people completely reverse AIDS. I had never seen this in the medical community in the hospital. In fact, I was so intrigued by this entire process that I ended up leaving my role as nurse administrator in adult medicine, and I went on to help the Tri-State Healing Center. And not only did I see patients with AIDS seroconvert, I saw people with many viruses, from HIV to herpes, chronic fatigue syndrome, Epstein-Barr, Coxsackie virus, mycoplasma. I saw all these people seroconverting and getting happier and healthier. And again, it was an empowerment model. It wasn't a fear-based model where suddenly you're no one unless the physician gives you a drug and you're doing whatever the doctor says. The physicians there were a different breed. And having Gary Null's support and all of his input in nutrition and public health and behavioral sciences really helped people to integrate a truly holistic protocol into their lives as they were helping themselves to heal their bodies. It's a completely different model. It's an empowerment model. I believe that the model that Gary Null used is just, it's just earth-shattering, and it's paradigm-changing. And it's no wonder that our medical system is not interested in hearing about this, because can they make money from it? Can they increase their power as a corporation? I don't think so. In fact, when Gary had a press conference to show all these people who reversed AIDS, no one showed up. Why? Because the media is owned 80% by the FDA and the AMA. Boy, did that reveal a lot to me.
The reason I'm here today really involves my relationship with Arthur Ashe. That's the genealogy of it. I met Arthur when I was, I met him in 1975. I was working with Jimmy Connors, the professional tennis player, and Arthur and I met and we became great friends until the end of his life in February of 1993. He was a mentor. He wrote my college recommendation. He wrote my first job recommendations. So we were that tight. In the early 90s, circa 1990, someone whom I trust told me that Arthur had AIDS. And I found it hard to believe. And you got to remember that AIDS back then meant death. Today, AIDS doesn't mean death. But back then, to give you an example, Arthur, a lot of his dentists lost patients because Arthur was going to that dentist and they were afraid they were going to get AIDS but simply by coming into the same milieu as Arthur. But I found out that Arthur had AIDS, and since 1977, I had been listening to Gary Null on WBAI, and as fate would have it, Gary began really talking a lot about AIDS in the late 80s, actually even before that. And he had on his program people whom he said had seroconverted, meaning they were HIV positive and they went to HIV negative, or they had full-blown AIDS and blood tests, subsequent blood tests reveal that there was no trace of HIV or any of the other 29 cofactors, which at the time comprised AIDS, made up AIDS. And I found that hard to believe. So I would get my vitamins from Gary. He had a place on 84th Street on the Upper West Side, but he had what's called the Tri-State Healing Center on 72nd off of Broadway. So I would go there, get my vitamins, and it was a beautiful place, waterfall, and he had doctors, he had chiropractors, he had dentists, he had medical doctors, he had massage people, he had a lady who did acupuncture. And I'm getting my vitamins, and I was getting IV vitamin drips, vitamin C, because you can't take but so much in pill form or in powder form because of bowel tolerance. It just goes out. But you're able to take more if you do it IV method. But I was really there on a reconnaissance mission. I wanted to find out if what Gary was saying was really true. I mean, there are a lot of hucksters out there. And I had no reason to believe that. But you got to remember, at the time, AIDS was thought, you didn't want somebody with AIDS sneezing on you because you thought you would die. So I go there, and I'm getting my vitamin drips. And the people around me, there's a support group of people with HIV and with full-blown AIDS. I start talking to them, and as time I went there about twice a week. After work, I would come down and go to the site. I was there about twice a week, and I found these people fascinating because I'm thinking, you have AIDS or you have the HIV virus, you're going to die. I mean, that's what conventional medicine said. But they were happy, and they were telling me they were feeling better. And, you know, I thought that was great. I thought that was fascinating, but I needed hard proof. And then one day, a gentleman told me that he no longer had AIDS, that he once had AIDS, and he once had the HIV virus. And he didn't have it anymore. I found that a little hard to believe, but, you know, I mean, he said it, it's him. As time went by, 5 or 6 people told me the same thing. And I saw Gary in the hallway one day, and I said, Gary, my name is Doug Henderson, blah, blah, blah. I've listened to you for so long. I'm friends with Arthur Ashe, and he hasn't come out yet, but I'd like to be proactive and get him on one of these protocols, if this is true. And the HIPAA laws were different back then in terms of medical records. Now you can't reveal anything. So Gary took me back in his office. He showed me, I think it was 5 or 6 medical records. And it was not just one medical record, but for each client, each patient, he had, after every 3 months or so, another lab workup done. And so you could see the progression. And these people, according to the records, had seroconverted, had no traces of AIDS or no traces of the HIV virus in their system, which was remarkable. So then I began talking to Arthur about these treatments, about Gary Null. He had never heard of Gary Null. And I told him that, you know, I knew Gary, and he's credible on everything that I've known thus far, but I doubted this, but I went to check out myself, and it was remarkable the work they were doing at the Tri-State Healing Center. Arthur had not come out in public to say that he had AIDS, so I began talking to him about AIDS, letting him know that I knew, but I wasn't going to confront him. That wasn't my place, but I couldn't sit idly back if I knew there were therapies and protocols that could help him. So we began talking about it, and I told him about the seroconversion, and he said, that's not possible. If that were true, it would be on the front page of the New York Times. Fast forward, April 1992. Arthur is forced to come out at the HBO press conference, which I attended, to say that he had AIDS. It was a big press conference, very sad day, very sad day. And afterwards, I remember I waited downstairs in front of the HBO studios, and Arthur came out, and I said, hey, King Arthur. And he knew that was me because I always referred to him as King Arthur. He came over and we began to talk. And he said, I knew you knew that I had AIDS, but you never said anything. And I appreciate that. And I appreciate all the information you've given me, because Gary had actually given me those records of the people who had seroconverted, the 5 or 6 patients. And I had given those to Arthur, as well as all of the research that, I mean, it was stacked like this, I had given him. And I asked him, I said, would you be willing to try an alternative protocol? And he says, I'd be crazy not to. This is what he said. I'd be crazy not to. Time marched on. That was April 1992. And I had David Dinkins, who was the mayor at the time, was a good friend of mine. And Gary had the Pain, Profit, and Politics of AIDS documentary, which was going to premiere, but Gary didn't have a place to play it. I called up Mayor Dinkins. He put me in touch with someone, and we got the Walter Reed Theater at Lincoln Center. Once we secured that, I called Arthur and I said, I'd like you to come. We're gonna present this documentary on AIDS called The Pain, Profit, and Politics of AIDS. And we're going to have a press conference afterwards. I'd love for you to get, instead of getting snippets of it or reading, I'd like you to be there and feel the energy. So the curtain was dimming, the lights were dimming, the curtain was falling down, and I was standing on the side. There was no Arthur about 2 minutes before. And then I saw him walk in from the back. I said, wow. I mean, this is his life that's at stake. And I felt that he trusted me enough to come check this out, this Gary Null person. And we sat there and we viewed it. And he told me then he's open to it. And I remember leaving that day, a lady from Newsday interviewed him while he was walking out. And he said, I'd be crazy not to. He said that. Later on that month or the next month, Mayor Dinkins appointed Ron Johnson as the citywide AIDS activist, or the person in charge of dealing with the AIDS crisis. And I found that out, and I called Gary, and Mayor Dinkins put me in touch with Ron Johnson, who actually was HIV positive. We didn't know it at the time. So we go down there, and Gary comes in with stacks of materials, give it to him, boom, great meeting. But to fast forward with Arthur, we set up at least 7 to 10 appointments for him to come in and give 4 vials of blood. That's all Gary wanted to have from Arthur. And Arthur said each time he would do it, but at the last second, he didn't do it. Gary met with Arthur on the Tony Brown Journal show. Now, interesting history behind that. Gary told me he was going to be on Tony Brown's Journal. And I called Arthur and I said, Gary's going to be there and they're going to discuss AIDS. And Arthur said, I'd like to go. I said, okay. I got the address, went down there. As fate would have it, it wasn't a live studio audience. It was just Tony Brown and Gary. And they invited Arthur down and they had this discussion. And what was interesting about that was Gary said, he was talking about pneumocystis carinii pneumonia, which is the opportunistic infection that ultimately killed Arthur. And he and Dr. Robert Cathcart from California, no patient that they had died from pneumocystis carinii pneumonia. It's kind of sad to me that Arthur, in my opinion, wouldn't have died from that if he had been on this protocol. And it was a great show. Arthur called me up afterwards and told me that it was just the 3 of them there, and it was great. Now, fast forward, Gary, it was a 3-day appearance at the Apollo Theater, and Gary was one of the presenters there. Arthur was there, and I remember Gary calling me afterwards saying, Arthur has gotten cachexic. meaning, I mean, he was always a thin person, but he had lost even more weight. And he said, if he doesn't do something, he's going to be dead in 6 weeks. 6 weeks later, Arthur died. And there's so many sad parts to this. And I remember speaking to Earl Caldwell, who wrote for the Daily News. And he knew of my relationship with Arthur. He called me up, and I mentioned with Gary. And there's an article that Earl Caldwell wrote saying, it said, "Doc, : how Ash could have aced AIDS." And he mentioned his work in trying to help Arthur. But Arthur, I think he was reluctant to really try it, even though he said it. And he had a sort of blind allegiance to conventional medicine, despite him wasting away. And it's really sad, because I've seen the medical records. Arthur saw the medical records of the people who Cyril converted. And a year after, the New York Times approached me to write an article on the one-year anniversary of Arthur's death, which the one-year anniversary was February 6th, 1994. And I wrote a big piece for the New York Times. And in it, to show you that I'm not just saying this now, that I said it in 1994, I told Arthur about the conventional medicine and the alternative medicine and the different approaches, and I told him about people seroconverting being cured of AIDS. I put it right there. It's documented. And it's sad that he didn't try that. Now, there are a lot of people, as I read up on it, there are a lot of people calling Gary an AIDS denialist. Now, to me, that means that the AIDS denialists are defined as people who don't believe that HIV causes AIDS. Gary never said that. At least if he did, I would, not support him on that. But what he's saying, and what the discoverer of the HIV virus, Luc Montagnier, said, that it's not the sole cause. There are cofactors with it that contribute. And I think there were 29 cofactors that contributed to the progression from HIV positive to full-blown AIDS. And Gary has said, in fact, at that 1992 press conference at the Walter Reed Theater following the Pain, Profit, and Politics of AIDS, Gary said that HIV is a factor. He doesn't think it's the sole factor, and he explained it this way. He said that there are 5,000, in one study, there were 5,000 people who had full-blown AIDS, and 50% of them didn't have a trace of the HIV virus in their system. Therefore, it couldn't be the sole reason for a person developing AIDS from HIV. So it's been an interesting journey. And I'll say that the HIV virus and AIDS, they have disproportionately impacted the African American community. I am also, at the time, I still am, but I was a journalist, and I wrote a series of articles for the Amsterdam News dealing with AIDS, dealing with Arthur, dealing with blacks and their lifestyle. And what's interesting about that is that AIDS impacted African Americans disproportionately, but it impacted not the African Americans in Scarsdale, or not the African Americans in Stamford, Connecticut, not the middle or upper middle class blacks, but blacks who were quote unquote on the lower rung of the socioeconomic spectrum, who engaged in injurious habits like smoking, upwards of 17 pharmaceuticals a day, drinking, just not exercising, it disproportionately impacted them. So what Gary was doing, he was trying to, you think of the body as the milieu, he was trying to strengthen the milieu of the body to take care of not only HIV or heart disease, but everything. And I think that's really the point, because the immune system has been a bit player in terms of conventional orthodox medicine and how they treat things until this year or last year, recently, when a medical doctor won a Nobel Prize for strengthening
when the
AIDS immune system.
Dr. Ricci worked a lot with viruses in the France, where he was working at Pasteur Institute. And then he just applied, when the AIDS appeared, he applied the antiviral preparation to the patients with HIV plus immunity. He worked with immunity with thymus and lecithin. He had lot of experience with suppressed immune patients. And then applying the antiviral and the immunity, he had absolutely wonderful results with this. And then Garinol was implementing some of the supplements, like vitamin C, like many other vitamins that work directly in increasing the immune system. And we had lot of patients. We had good results, very good results. In fact, there were some patients that they were absolutely convert from positive to negative. More or less, I cannot give you exactly how many there were, but there are 10 that I know. And some of them, they are still alright today. In fact, in New Jersey, to Dr. Radu Kramer, was Saturday a patient that she was working, I can say, because she working in a jail. She was a policeman there, and one of the patients bite her and was transmitted. And she's still all right and in remission after all those years. That was 1982, 1983. I spoke with her Saturday. I didn't ask her. All using natural and all suppressing the virus with antivirals and with chemicals, and then keeping the immune system going with natural supplements and natural plants, herbs, etc. We saw in the research that we used to have the Institute of Applied Biology, we saw this, that was a big difference. Well, those days, you have to know that they was pushing a lot certain antiviral medication. And they neglect completely the immune system. Even now, when I read an article or in a scientific magazine, now they start with the immune system. Dr. Ricci worked with the immune system since he was working in Paris in the 40s. And any time there's, doesn't exist immune system, doesn't exist. Everybody was, now, immune system, I saw even in cancer, that they have new biologicals that they respond. In fact, Dr. Ricci Institute was called Institute of Applied Biology. And don't forget, those days there were not so much the testing. They were not updated like it's today. And I saw in Africa also, like, because I was going every year from December until January, Christmas and New Year's Eve, I was there in Zimbabwe working. There were a lot of people that they have good results, but after that, they collapse. Because not only that they was not controlling the virus, but also they were depleting the last immune system that was left in them. So was not, after that they did a lot of other research. And lot
that,
of
the person you're hearing there is Elena, and she had been with the Institute, oh my goodness, 45 years. And they brought a number of patients over to the Tri-State Healing Center that were intractable. They couldn't help them. And two of them we seroconverted. And we worked and improved the condition of all of them. Also, I want to mention, Doug Henderson just mentioned that there were three straight days in a row. This has never happened before that we're aware of in the history of the Apollo Theater. A lecture, not a performance, where I was, the house was packed, and I introduced a lot of the African-American and Latino medical doctors who were using the protocols, and a lot came down. We had a lot of people from the African-American community coming into the center. And by the way, I would always ask the patients that we have doctors that would like to see how you're doing. Do you mind if they look at your medical records? They say fine. Or if they said no, then we wouldn't show it to them. But everyone had given their permission. In any case, we once had a guy named Dr. Robert Cathcart, a regular board-certified physician from California, and he shows up one day. And very, very impressive person, large stature, and walks in, and he told us that he had become aware of us because some of the people that had been treated at the center were out in California and talking about there were other therapies. And at that time, the number one or two cause of death was either pneumocystis carinii pneumonia or Kaposi sarcoma. And he said, what are you doing? And he spent 3 weeks with us every day, all day. And he went back, used the therapies, and then about 6 months later, I was out there, and I contacted him, and we went by the Linus Pauling Institute, where Dr. Jirala was doing good work with quercetin, destroying the HIV virus in vitro. In any case, he said that he hadn't had a single patient die with pneumocystis carinii, that they were all doing well. And he was at 50,000 milligrams per day, 5 days a week, and he was going to take it up then to 75, and then after that 100. And he did that for years. And years and years later, I had him on my radio program. We have an archive tape of it where he says he never had an AIDS patient die after he began using this therapy. So there we are. That's just some of the proof. And Tony Brown today and Bill McCreary today and others saw the medical records, invited me on the television. There I was at the Apollo Theater 3 times, and there we were at a press conference, and no one showed up. And so on the one hand, you ask, well, why not? Well, I can't give you the reason why many people. I can only give you my subjective speculative answer, and that is my entire career I have focused upon how to help a person overcome illnesses. And if you can do something naturally and inexpensively that can't be patented and controlled, then what is the interest in it? Right now we have people who are forever patients until they die. And the pharmaceutical industry is extremely powerful. And we have already seen, and we have proof positive, that when a person becomes a critic of any part of medicine, then trolls and agent provocateurs and attacks occur, a lot of those on Wikipedia. Wikipedia attacks all chiropractors, all herbalists, naturopaths, holistic doctors, and traditional Chinese medicine, Ayurvedic medicine, all of these great healing systems that have hundreds of millions of people benefited, where there's over 100,000 articles in the peer-reviewed literature of the Library of Medicine. We have them. But they don't care. They've never treated anyone holistically. They've never interviewed the patients, and they've never interviewed the doctors involved. Yet they're willing to not just attack a person, but an entire system of medicine health. And they even call them, Jimmy Wells calls anyone who practices what we do, lunatic charlatans. So then when you leave these people and they cannot change their bios and you denigrate them, that's malice. They're doing it with intent to do harm. And so they throw a slogan out there that has nothing to do with reality. So instead of looking at the truth, they give you lies. Have a nice evening, everyone, and thank you for tuning in.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a good recording, man.
Yeah, brother,
like,
stop right on.
Mother, there's too many of you crying.